First, it's our weekly look at some of the top stories in national politics. President Trump announced today the government will be sending federal law enforcement agents to Chicago and Albuquerque with the stated goal of combating rising crime there, as the president and attorney general William Barr put it. This comes as Homeland Security is pushing back against criticism of its use of force in Portland. Also, the president alone held his first coronavirus briefing after a long pause, and with supplemental unemployment benefits from the federal government close to running out, Congress, the White House, and even the Republican Party are at odds on how to move forward with another economic relief package. You can join in on that at 800-642-1234. The House already passed a relief package. What do you think about it? Should the Senate pick that one up, about $3 trillion? How about Mitch McConnell's plan to undercut the House, say about a $1 trillion relief package? Still waiting for details on what's going to come out of that. If you're benefiting from the $600 aid, let us know. Let us know how an end of that might affect you. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Lisa Mascaro is Chief Congressional Correspondent for AP. Lisa, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. How are you?
Good, and I understand you've got some weather there, so hopefully all will go well.
Yeah, I'm here in Washington, D.C., in the nation's capital. You know, we have these afternoon thunder showers often in the summer months when it gets really, really hot and sweltering during the day, and then the showers come in. But this one is real thunder and lightning, and they were issuing some flash flood warnings. So everyone's kind of hunkered down at the moment as the sky's darkened.
All right. Well, good luck to everybody there. Well, let's look at this this press conference, coronavirus press conference, first one in a while, and just the president alone on this one. Could you talk about this as kind of a significant news event?
It sure was. You know, it was sort of a real change in tone from the president. Our team at the White House did a number of different takeouts on his appearance yesterday. He did a couple main things. One, he says, you know, that the virus outbreak is going to worsen before it gets better, which is something that, you know, health officials have been saying for quite some time. But, you know, the president had previously been painting more of a rosy picture of sort of the way things were going. The president also pulled out a mask. You know, he has repeatedly sort of dismissed the idea of wearing masks as a way to contain the spread of the virus, even though, you know, the CDC director just last week had said, gosh, if every American could just put on a mask, it would really go a long way toward reducing the spread. You know, these particles, when people talk and when they're in close quarters, you know, they just apparently really can spread. And so the president talked about the importance of wearing a mask and sort of taking it out of the political context, you know, sort of trying to make it not really about whether you're for or against the president, but just do it for public health. And, you know, that seemed to be a turnaround and something that was really applauded by a lot of people because they think it could help. You know, there is this mounting death toll, you know, up to, gosh, I think we're at 142 and climbing 142,000 overnight and into today. And the infection rate, as you know, is really high in a number of states, seeing a lot of cases and a lot of emergency room visits. So so that's what we had yesterday. And, you know, he'll be back today for another briefing.
Yeah, let's give a listen to the president yesterday, an example of the tone he took.
Some areas of our country are doing very well. Others are doing less well. It will probably, unfortunately, get worse before it gets better. Something I don't like saying about things, but that's the way it is. It's the way, it's what we have. You look over the world, it's all over the world. And it tends to do that. The governors are working very, very hard.
Another notable thing about the conference, though, was the absence of other government officials, Vice President Pence, who had been head of the coronavirus task force, Dr. Fauci, Dr. Deborah Birx. It was just the president.
Yes, that's right. It was really a chance for President Trump to do what he thinks he does really well, is just speak directly to the American people. And, you know, that has its sort of pluses and minuses, people say. Politically, it has a benefit for him. He has shown in the past that he can sort of command the stage. You know, others, Democrats in particular, Senator Chuck Schumer, the Democratic leader of the Senate, said the president should just stay away. You know, He often gives information that is, you know, misleading, if not wrong, when he sort of talked about, you know, that the virus would, you know, just disappear and would, you know, you could get rid of it by some of these different, you know, I hate to even say them because I know public health officials really worry about them, right? But he had mentioned some treatments that people could take that people in the public health realm, you know, do sort of warn against. And so, you know, you do have this sort of mixed view on whether it's good for the president to be out there on his own or whether the briefing might benefit from the public health experts.
And one, before we move on from this briefing, I want to turn to an odd moment when the president was taking questions, not just about coronavirus, from reporters. One asked the president to comment on the arrest of Ghislaine Maxwell, accomplice confidant of the late Jeffrey Epstein, herself now arrested and charged with sex trafficking and lying to investigators. Here's what the president said.
I don't know. I haven't really been following it too much. I just wish her well, frankly. I've met her numerous times over the years, especially since I lived in Palm Beach, and I guess they lived in Palm Beach. But I wish her well, whatever it is. I don't know.
I know we're not in normal times, but the president wishing well to a central figure in this, you know, with a lot of allegations anyway, in this big sex abuse scandal. Did this get a lot of reaction?
Yes, it certainly did. And, you know, that whole story is just tragic with the Jeffrey S. Epstein case and, you know, what has happened there. And I think just as you saw, the reaction was swift, you know, from many quarters, just people saying that this was not something that the president should be talking about in that way from the podium.
We're looking at some of the top stories in national politics right now. It's our weekly look at the news in from Washington. Lisa Mascaro is with us, chief congressional correspondent for AP. You can join in on our next topic at 800-642-1234. What, if anything, do you want to see from Congress when it comes to more economic recovery and relief? What do you think? Do we need another big investment, extended, enhanced unemployment benefits? 800-642-1234. This is one I know you have been covering closely, Lisa. What is the latest from especially the Senate on this?
Well, Sonny, you should ask. We are all sort of poised here. Senate Leader Mitch McConnell, there were some signs that he would be unveiling his package today, and we're hoping we don't have it right now while we're on the phone, but there, you know, there are some signs that it would come today or certainly tomorrow. And this would be basically the Republicans' response to the package that Speaker Pelosi passed back in May. She passed through the Democratic House, the $3 trillion HEROES Act, a big sweeping proposal with lots of aid and different programs we can talk about in response to the virus outbreak. You know, at the time, Congress had just passed an earlier big bill, the largest of its kind really in U.S. history, in March. And so Leader McConnell really just wanted to take a pause and said, we're not going to chase this $3 trillion package that Speaker Pelosi has put down. It's a liberal wish list, and we're just going to hit pause and sort of see how things go. Well, you know, in the time sense, as we've seen, a lot of states reopened. Folks thought maybe the unemployment rate would improve. You know, businesses could reopen. And in fact, what's happened is sort of the opposite, right? We're seeing, you know, the virus spread. States having to contract again, businesses having to close their doors again or severely limit, you know, some of their public operations. And so the Republicans are putting together a response. The problem right now is that there are deep, deep divisions, not just among the Republicans there in Congress, you know, the real deficit hawks, the real, you know, conservatives who oppose the big spending, versus those Republicans that are willing to sort of engage and have more spending and federal programs out there. But also with the White House, you know, President Trump has some priorities that he really wants in this package, and they do not align with what the Senate Republicans want. Now, you know, Senate Republicans have the majority there in the Senate, just like Democrats have the majority over in the House. And so, you know, this disconnect is really just going to force Leader McConnell and Nancy Pelosi to have to negotiate. And that's where they're at right now. So we'll see if Leader McConnell is able to produce what he calls sort of a draft, a starting point. But even, you know, today there are signs they're just having a very hard time getting it together. And we can certainly drill down on those details if you want to hear more about some of the different provisions that they're considering.
We'll dig into some of those details in just a few moments with AP's chief congressional correspondent, Lisa Mascaro. It's our Week in Washington segment, looking at the big news in national politics. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to see from Congress, if anything, when it comes to more relief, economic relief efforts? The unemployment benefits, the enhancer from the federal government, that's expiring real soon. Should it be extended? That's $600 a week. Should it be extended in full or just part of it? There's some talk about that we're going to get into in just a few moments. Have you benefited from it? Do you worry that it costs too much or share concerns that it keeps people from looking for work? Are there other efforts you'd like to see to help small businesses, maybe your own small business? Or do you have questions about what's coming from either side, House, Senate, White House, Democrats, Republicans? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with AP's chief congressional correspondent, Lisa Mascaro, looking at some of the top stories this week out of Washington, D.C. Lisa, let's pick up where we left off. The ticking time clock for Congress on relief efforts is the end of this enhanced unemployment benefit. Can you talk about that expiration and what they're saying in Congress about if and how they'd want to continue it?
Yes, this is one of the big sticking points, not only between the Republicans themselves, but the Republicans and the Democrats. So as part of the earlier aid package that Congress approved and President Trump signed into law back in March, they added a $600 weekly benefit boost. So, you know, states have different unemployment benefits. You know, they're all set sort of locally, and it sort of matches, you know, different priorities in the regions. For many people, the benefits can be very low in their states. And with the widespread uncertainty, Congress agreed to give this extra $600 weekly boost just to make sure families could weather this crisis. It was expected to last for about 120 days. Well, we're coming up on that expiration. Republicans warn that this boost is really preventing some people from going back to work. They have evidence from some business leaders that it's just hard to get employees to return when they could be making more in some parts of the country on the unemployment benefit than regular sort of moderate wage jobs. Some people dispute that, but Republicans feel strongly that is the case. Some of them want to completely just get rid of the benefit. Some of them want to just lower it. So they're trying to figure out how to do that. And as you might imagine, you know, everything's complicated, right? You know, the state unemployment offices are already overwhelmed processing all of these claims, millions of Americans suddenly being jobless. And so the state unemployment offices have really struggled to kind of keep up with the demand right now. And so how do you put a new sort of federal idea on them and say, okay, let's, you know, how we're going to do that? And so they're trying to figure that out. Democrats want to extend the benefit. They say, let's just keep it going. It's a lifeline to cash-strapped Americans. Whatever the Republicans come up with, they're going to then have to go negotiate it with Democrats, and it's a mess. The benefit does begin to expire soon, in a matter of days. It'll start getting phased out by the end of the week here, and so they are under pressure to get something done, or maybe provide some sort of stopgap measure to hold them over while they negotiate further.
Another sticking point has to do with Support for state and local governments, relevant here in Wisconsin as the governor calls on his cabinet to look for budget cuts because of declining revenues, because of the economic slowdown. What is the state of conversation on whether another federal relief package would give money to state and local governments?
Yeah, the state and local government issue is another huge sticking point. Speaker Pelosi's bill gave almost $1 trillion to the state and local governments. You know, they, if you look at some of the organizations that represent the state and local governments, they say that they are facing massive budget shortfalls as, you know, their public hospitals, their emergency responders, all of this have tried to react to the virus crisis. A lot of Republicans say, look, you know, these states have been overspending. And as one senator, Rick Scott from Florida, told reporters yesterday, you know, I don't want Florida to have to bail out New York. And so there is this big difference of opinion, you know, $1 trillion from Pelosi. And right now it's kind of sounding like zero from the Republican side. The Republicans say the previous aid bill had provided about $150 billion for the state, and that the local cities and other county jurisdictions have had a hard time accessing that money. And so they want to kind of reshuffle the money and loosen some of the restrictions to make it easier for the local cities and counties to tap into some of the remaining funds that are out there from that previous bill. And so I think they're looking more at let's see what we've already given and see if we can kind of reshuffle some of that money versus, you know, Democrats had asked for this very large amount, you know, because Democrats are warning that if you cut off money to, you know, states and cities, you know, these people like to sort of, you know, complain about government workers or say, but, you know, these are the teachers and the firefighters and the, you know, public health workers and, you know, a lot of the trash, you know, collection, all these kind of frontline sort of people that we're talking about right now. So that's a big battle ahead.
We're talking to Lisa Mascaro from the Associated Press. We're looking at some of the top stories in national politics. Let's turn to another story now. The president announced he would be sending some federal law enforcement officers to more cities now. Portland, Oregon has been the center of this story. And I want to give a listen to Acting Secretary of Homeland Security Chad Wolf defending the actions of what he said are simply CPB, U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers. He says calling organized violence against federal property in that city.
These police officers are not stormtroopers. They are not the Gestapo, as some have described them. That description is offensive, it's hyperbolic, and it's dishonest. And every law enforcement officer and every reasonable American knows this. While I look forward to the day that our officers are redeployed back to their regular day-to-day mission, we will not shrink from our duty because of this violence.
Can you talk about the back and forth of this at the national level of the deployment of these law enforcement officers, federal law enforcement officers to Portland?
Yeah, this is a really new and different situation. You know, we just have not really seen a massive show of force like this from federal enforcement. I mean, certainly when there are civil disturbances and, you know, problems in different areas, you see the National Guard, you know, being called in by the governors. But this is a real different situation where you have the federal government coming in, sometimes over the objections, right? I mean, the Attorney General in Oregon is filed suit, you know, to stop the federal government from coming in this way. And, you know, the president has talked about wanting to send more troops out. You know, some see a real political play here where the president is able to sort of flex, you know, a sort of law, you know, he has talked about being a law and order president, sort of taking this tough on law and order approach that plays well to a lot of his base of supporters. And, you know, it is seen in through that lens, you know, yet at the same time, there's a real constitutional question here of how much the federal, you know, law enforcement power is able to reach into the jurisdictions. I mean, you know, the country has a long history of the separation of federal, you know, and state powers. And this is a new sort of zone. You know, some of these federal troops do have authority to operate in some of these states. But, you know, when you are seeing resistance from the states, is it still appropriate? In Congress, the House Democrats are calling for oversight. They want to hear from federal officials on this. Even some senators, Republican senators, had mentioned that today as well. So there is a lot of rising concern about where this is going and to what extent, you know, it is, within bounds.
We'll leave it there for now. Lisa, a lot going on this week. Thanks again for joining us today.
Okay, great. Thanks. Nice to join you.
That's Lisa Mascaro, Chief Congressional Correspondent for the Associated Press. She was with us to talk about some of the top stories out of Washington this week, including negotiations back and forth over the next coronavirus economic relief package amid a looming deadline we mentioned of federal enhanced unemployment benefits expiring. Got a couple emails on related topics. Cheryl writes, quote, I know what we don't need, a liability waiver for businesses that force their employees to work when they were sick with COVID and did too little too late to prevent the spread of COVID in the workplace. Cheryl goes on, we do not need a payroll tax cut. If you're not working, it isn't going to help. And so many people are not working. And Matt emails, southern states aren't bailing out states like New York. Quite the opposite. Matt writes, California and New York pay in more than they take. Southern states are on the take in terms of almost every parameter. There's still time to share your thoughts. You can comment on stories linked over at the Ideas Network Facebook page. You can email, as they did, ideas@WPR.org. Or, as always, feel free to tweet us. We are at Central Time WPR. That's at Central Time WPR. However you do it, let us know what you want to see next from Congress on economic relief.